Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, the year of the Black Republican. Some of you may remember 1994 being called that. Some of you may remember 2006 when it didn't quite go off as planned. And now that label is back for 2010 because more than 30 Black candidates nationwide are running in competitive races in either primaries or general elections. These Black Republicans are the subject of week three now of our month-long series on the identity of being American, with Baratunde Thurston, the comedian and blogger who co-founded the African-American political site Jack and Jill Politics, and who works very seriously and extremely full-time as the web and politics editor at The Onion. Baratunde, welcome back to WNYC. Thanks a lot for doing this series with us.
Thank you for having me. Sorry I couldn't be in the studio with you today. I miss you, Brian.
No problem. I know you're out in Chicago doing a thing. So what makes 2010 the year of the Black Republican?
I guess the same thing that made 2006, 2000, and 1994 the year of the Black Republican, the sighting of a rare species and the prominent coverage by the media. We'll see if this is it. It probably isn't, but it certainly is a fascinating story to look at when the Republican Party has often had troubles attracting and maintaining its connection to anyone who's not white for a very extended period of time.
Should we go through some of these by name? One name that's been in the press is Angela McGlowan, running for Congress in Mississippi. Is she at the front of the group?
She is definitely one of the most prominent. She's a former commentator for Fox News, a former beauty pageant. She's spoken at a lot of Tea Party events, is very proud of her affiliation with the Republican Party, confuses a lot of folks with her fervor for Tea Party events, which often don't have quite the image of inclusiveness that you might expect from someone of Ms. McClellan's background.
We have a few results already in Arkansas's first district primary. On Tuesday, restaurant owner Rick Crawford beat Princella Smith, the African-American Hill staffer who had racked up support from establishment conservatives and appeared in multiple stories about the crop of 2010 Black Republican candidates. The vote was 73% to 28%. So this rising star of Black Republicanism got trounced. Does that tell us anything?
It's hard to infer from any particular race, but I think, if you look at the big number 32 that's being banded about, there are probably six or seven that have a real shot at winning. And Princella Smith was cited in, like you said, a number of stories because she was a great story. But the candidates who defeated her had the backing of Mike Huckabee, and despite the sort of the press attention on her, she really didn't have a chance. I don't know if it was expected that she would lose that badly. 73-27 is pretty embarrassing with or without any press coverage.
And we have Alan West running against two-term incumbent Ron Klein in Florida in a congressional district, saying that a Black Republican in national office would help blunt the Democrats calling attacks on Obama racist. I don't hear a lot of Democrats calling attacks on Obama racist. There are a few once in a great while, it seems to me. But do you want to weigh in on how you've seen that dynamic?
Well, yes. And I think Alan West is a great example. He's actually criticized Jeb Bush and Mark Rubio for their hesitance to endorse the Arizona immigration law, which we've talked about in previous weeks on this show. And the idea that he is going to explicitly sort of market himself as an anti-racist shield, some sort of superpower for the Republican Party to be able to do what it does in criticizing Obama without any sort of backlash for being racist in some of those attacks, is pretty brazen on his part. I mean, I think, for a lot of, you got to look at, 90% of Black people do support President Obama. In general, the population of Black Americans votes Democratic. And in the early days, there was some concern in the Republican Party about how do we oppose this president. Shortly after his inauguration, after the election, they were really stunned into silence. That silence is clearly evaporated, and you've got legitimate criticism, you've got extreme language about socialism and government Nazi takeovers, and you still got the birthers out there who think this president isn't really American or using race-based sort of other and outsider attacks to delegitimize the president. The idea that Alan West would explicitly try to give cover to anything like that is certainly disturbing, but I guess honorable in a perverse perspective.
And the House has not had a black Republican since 2003 when J.C.
Right.
Watts of Oklahoma left after 8 years in office. We still see him a lot on conservative media, but he's not in the House. Why not? Why isn't there one in America? Haven't they had any viable candidates?
Hopefully one of your callers can and had a little bit of insight into this, and I certainly can't speak on behalf of the party. For me, you know, I'm an unabashedly sort of left-leaning person, so there's not that much attraction in the Republican Party. Look at George W. Bush wasn't the best salesperson for the party. Michael Steele's not doing that much better. There's no national emerging voice of sanity. You're being led by a lot of talk show hosts, whether it's Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh. You've got the Arizona law. The party itself seems to be tying itself and some of its policies to themes that are very exclusive in an age where the country has necessarily to become more inclusive. So it seems to be a bad time to, in general, between 2003 and now, to affiliate oneself. So looking at this year's big numbers certainly is a curiosity. And I think you've got a big anti-incumbent fervor going. You've got a big opportunity. You know, one of our writers at Jack and Jill Politics, Cheryl Conti, the co-founder, has no love lost for this group of black people and basically says, look, these are folks who want to keep their money once they make it. And there certainly is some subset of that going on. I'm not saying that explains it all, though.
Everybody wants to keep their money once they make it. But that doesn't mean that everybody's going to be anti-tax in the way the Republican
right.
Party is. All right. If there happens to be a black Republican listening right now, I realize in New York area, it is a more of a needle in a haystack than it is even elsewhere. But I know black Republicans personally. So maybe one of you is listening right now. Robert George, where are you? 212-433.
Yeah, Robert George on here.
212-433-9692. Call up if you are a black Republican, African-American Republican, Caribbean-American Republican, and make the case for 2010 as the new year of the black Republican, if you think it is. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Baratunde Thurston from The Onion and co-founder of the African-American-oriented political site Jack and Jill Politics. You think Michael Steele is helping or hurting the case of the Republican Party for many black audiences, the chairman of the RNC who is black?
I think Michael Steele's probably hurting the case for anyone who's a public figure right about now. He's just not having a good run of it. On the more serious side, I mean, he's made a lot of slips and gaffes, far worse than anything Joe Biden has ever done. But when he tried to raise the issue of the Republicans' historic distance from minority communities, its southern strategy, he even, in fact, in spite of claiming that Obama played the race card, said he's being held to a higher standard, Steele said of himself, because he's black. And he gets an extra backlash from his party when he raises these issues because they ask, you know, why are you bringing up old stuff? Why do you want to talk about this negative story? When in these cases, this is probably the most honest he's being and where he and I probably see eye to eye on a lot of issues. I don't think he's in a good position to have a lot of credibility now, though. His record's a bit pockmarked.
You would think that there would be some political space around the fact that many black voters feel taken advantage of by the Democratic Party, and that there would be more competition for policies and services and whatever for African-American communities. Because let's face it, I mean, we have like 95% of black people voting for Democrats, and yet the Democratic Party is still overwhelmingly controlled by whites, and often black interests are ignored.
Well, and here you raise a great substantive point. I have kind of two observations. One, there is a deep strain of social conservatism in a large swath of the black community. It's much more religious community. I think early in his years, George W. Bush was able to tap into that well beyond photo ops. I think he squandered a lot of it with overall policies, which are damaging to most of the country, including black people. But on the Democratic side, that is a statistic that even many black Democrats find troubling, because you get into a monopolistic situation where without competition, you know, the sort of response is, well, where are you going to go? It's never put as negatively, but most black people are not going to legitimately pursue a home in the Republican Party, given where their political leanings are, whether they be social or economic leanings. But then you look at the history of the party, when it doesn't prioritize things like the massive incarceration rate, which is devastating the black community nationwide, and why is that not more front and center? Because this large group of core voters isn't going to go anywhere else. So at a national level, that doesn't seem to be a big option. I think in a place like New York, you've got the Working Families Party as an example, which is able to tap more into that. Maybe there are other examples in other cities across the country.
Richie in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hey, Richie, thanks a lot for calling in.
Good morning, Brian. My name is Richard from St. Albans. I have been joining the Republican Party lately. I think that our community, with giving the votes to Democrats, our schools are the worst in our neighborhoods all over the country. The Democrats prefer to align themselves with the teachers than with the people who send their kids to school. My community here in Queens, we have been devastated in terms of jobs, and not only because of the recession. We have just so many people here who are illegally competing with young black men who cannot get a job, and the solution that the Democrats offer is to bring in more. More people, more illegal, let them stay, legalize them. These solutions do not work for African Americans.
Richie, thank you very much. And Baratunde, we're going to run out of time in a minute, but we got one good voice on, as we requested. And by the way, seven people did call up right away, just to put that on the record, to identify themselves as black Republicans and have
a
say.
So
Richie, you know, look, he lays out two very specific issues where he thinks the Democratic establishment misses it. Black people want charter schools, a lot of black people.
Yeah.
You know, because they're stuck in the bad public schools in the urban centers especially. And a lot of black working class people feel competition from illegal immigrants while the leadership identifies with the undocumented. So they're, you know, they've got two issues there if they want to go Republican, where they're going to find a home in the Republican Party for their interests.
No, it's absolutely true. And there's a lot of legitimacy to what Richard was talking about. There's some, I mean, I wouldn't characterize the Democrats as wanting more illegal immigrants here. And I'd also tone down the idea that there's a massive, you know, illegal immigrant, you know, Latino versus black working class competition going on nationwide, but certainly in certain cities, that is a real issue about job opportunities. I think the challenge is you take the entire party with a particular policy, and on the whole, when you sign up for black people making this calculus, is am I going to go with the party that is pro-charter schools but also wants to somehow defend Wall Street and continue, you know, war policies, which are very much against my own interests, which wants to continue a regressive tax policy, which is probably also against my interests.
Right.
So on certain issues, there's definitely great room for competition. Overall, it's an awkward sell when you've got kind of Alan Keyes as your historic black Republican figure.
And we will leave it right there for today. We will see over time. This will be one of the threads we follow during this election year, whether 2010 does turn out to be the year of the black Republican in any meaningful sense, as some have predicted. And Baratunde Thurston, web and politics editor at The Onion, will be back with us next Thursday to finish up his weekly appearances for the month of May. Baratunde, thanks again.
Thank you. I'll be in the studio next week.
Great.
Later.
Looking forward to seeing you. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay tuned. Ayaan Hirsi Ali up next. Among other things, one of the inspirations for today's Draw a Picture of Muhammad Day. Stay with us.